The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Central Bank of the Bahamas, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama Muse, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. So glad that you could join us today. If you want at some point to give us a call, please feel free to call us on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-623-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on, live on Hill Bahamas Channel 969, or you can catch it on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow 612. So glad you could join us. Is that Dr. Martin with us today? Dr. Martin here?
Yes. I'm back.
Welcome.
Yeah.
The events of these last couple of weeks have been throwing us a little off.
Yes, we have been having some really interesting events. Yes, thank you so much. And I have two guests joining me today. I don't know if they're on us yet.
I don't see anybody yet.
Okay, I just reached out to one of them. So she should be joining shortly. But let me introduce what we're going to talk about today. And hopefully they come on because they're going to carry the brunt of this conversation today.
Why don't we do this? You want to wait for them to come on so we don't tease people, and then
that's right.
We may have to make a change, and that's okay. No problem.
Okay, that's fine. We can do that. We could chat a little bit.
I see the producer is telling me we have a call on the line. Producer, is that one of our guests on the line? Let me find out from the producer first. Is that a
okay?
Guess?
Thank you.
No, okay. I can't have a call on the line now. I haven't even introduced a topic yet. So I'm sorry.
They're excited. I'm calling one of the guests now. But in the meantime, how have you been?
Good. Doing what I have to do and taking care of business. So I'm doing okay. Feeling good and feeling strong. I'm good.
Okay, that's wonderful. We're moving into the Christmas season. So if our guests don't show up, we can talk a little bit about holiday eating and preparations for that, and speak a little bit about diabetes. So we can change it a bit if you would like.
We're just gonna put some boundaries on the eating. We're not gonna stop them from eating.
No, we're not stopping the eating at all. Actually, it's quite fun. And I think they like the fact that they're able to eat a little bit more, but just to be more mindful.
No worries. But we were going to talk anyways with some of your colleagues around this issue of loss and whatever. So introduce it anyways, because we can still, I'm sure, have a conversation about it.
Yeah, what we can do is we could have a conversation around what we intended as well. So we could have a conversation that covers just about all of that.
Right. We of course have been through some significant trauma as a people. Some people haven't experienced that trauma more directly than others. For instance, the family of young Adriel, then of course the family of 72-year-old Butler. Loss and a tragic loss. Of course, the nation had to watch this loss itself out in the findings and discoveries of those persons. And and it was around that that you reached out and said, we really need to talk about these traumatic events in our lives and how we cope and deal with them.
Yes, that's right. What we wanted to talk a little bit about was, and I had our doctor's hospital psychiatrist in the person of Dr. Rashida Brown Clark coming on, and I think she's going to log on soon. And she's a psychiatrist with the hospital, and we wanted to address anxiety and trauma. And I was also having, and she's going to log on soon. I just got her note. So Miss Simone Bowe, she is the Assistant Vice President of Human Resources at Doctors Hospital. So I really wanted us to have a
We know
discussion.
someone quite well.
Yes, she said so. I wanted us to have a discussion around anxiety. A lot of persons in society in this country are really anxious about all the killings, the deaths. Persons are also losing family members unexpectedly. They go to sleep and they wake up beside someone who is dead, relatively healthy. And the trauma of that, the trauma of all of what we've been experiencing as a nation. I mean, we just had trauma yesterday in the House of Assembly, and with that, how it bears on the mental health of persons in the community, persons who have lost a loved one, persons who are experiencing loss, even loss of a job. And I think Simone Bowe will speak a lot to the workplace mindset and finding balance at work and living under stressful conditions. So I thought it was, it'd be timely to have these persons on to go in depth with them with these issues. A lot of times, Mr. Lang, we suppress our emotions, not realizing that those emotions do not disappear. They just find another way to express themselves. And we see that in a lot of what's, the chaos and that is going on in the country and just within our homes sometimes. And so I think it's important that we have that discussion around our mental health and how it affects our minds, our bodies, and our spirits.
One of the hi Simone, how you doing?
Hi.
Well,
Welcome.
thanks. Bye.
Been a long while. That's how you always do it, though. You
It has
drop out
been.
of sight and now you're
You see
here.
that? Always here.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good to see you. Good to have you
Yeah.
here.
Same here. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You know, there's two words, Dr. Martin. I think of a lot about with us human beings in general, It's a lot of times associated with men in particular, but I think it's a lot of people who experience it. It's called quiet desperation. It's a suffering, a mental anxiety, a physical stress. It's a fearfulness and worry that is upon lots of people, but they, for whatever reason, dare not express that or reveal that to anyone. And I know Simone, you know, dealing sometimes with people, even in the workplace, that this quiet desperation is for real.
Oh, yes. And we have to be very sensitive to what people are going through. Funnily enough, I just did a session on emotional intelligence. And, you know, when you look at that and being self-aware and being able to manage what you're going through, but then also to be able to be aware of what other people may be experiencing and how your behavior can be triggering to someone else, you know? And even in that session, a young man was very passionate, and I could tell that he's someone that you probably may have to do some follow-up with after, because there's a lot of pent-up emotion there, right? About being sensitive about his height. And he was very open about being teased from a very young age. It was something that he had to deal with all his life. And so now, you know, it's impacting him at work. And people may say, well, that is such a small thing. Get over it. You know, we tend to invalidate what people are feeling. These are real feelings that sometimes come from deep-rooted places that we need to be supportive, even at work, because it impacts relationships. It impacts communication. It impacts our ability to resolve conflict, to let go of grudges, you know? So it's equally as important in the workplace that we take it seriously and provide the support that's needed.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, when I was in high school, when I was 2 years old, scarlet fever and chicken pox at the same time. So what happened because of that, and I was told at the time 10 children would survive that. Thank God I did. But what I did was, you know, the chicken pox normally fade and you could have like one or two marks left on skin. Well, mine became very visible indentation on my back. Now, in high school, when we didn't have uniforms, so they used to make you play, right? Shirts and skin. And I literally was terrified of playing skins. And a education teacher insisted that I did. And I insisted that I wouldn't. Even through the at me, he was so angry at what he my defiance. But the truth is, I just had such a sense of mask on my skin because I feared what would happen. And guess what happened when I had to do what the teacher made me do? The kids started calling me Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever.
So, wow. You know,
people can be cruel. People can be cruel. These things can affect you, you know?
Yes, unfortunately, these things can affect you. And not only that, that happened when you were young and in school and into our adulthood as well. And that's the emotions that we suppress. And that is why it is important for us to address those past traumas as well, because it comes out as an adult in different aggressive behaviors. And so we have Dr. Rashida Brown Clark with us as our psychiatrist, who will address some of those emotions that we suppress and help us to navigate some of those feelings and thoughts within our social environments. Welcome, Dr. Clark. Welcome. Brown.
Welcome, Dr. Clark.
Brown Clark, sorry.
Welcome, Dr. Brown Clark.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me. So I do apologize.
I do apologize for jumping late into the session, but I did catch a bit of the last few minutes. Were there specific questions that you wanted me to address?
We didn't do much, no, ma'am. Didn't do much yet. But what I do want to do, though, since you're here, and I'm going to ask you this, and then we're going to take a break so you can answer on the way back.
Sure.
When things happen in our lives, these tragedies, so, for, you know, we have family members who lose a 12-year-old in a tragic way, family members who lose a 72-year-old loved one in the way they did. Some of us have said goodbye to our mothers or fathers, etc. I want you to talk the experience of loss, the sadness, and how people need to help themselves cope appropriately with that. Is that okay when we come back?
That is fine. We can do that.
Okay. Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We are here with Dr. Janet Martin and team as we wake you up to your life. We'll be back at the Doctor's Hospital. We'll be back after this break. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who ran into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance? She hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang! She was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The wait is over. That safe, guaranteed investment opportunity that you've been waiting for has finally arrived. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. And as of Thursday, November the 21st, all Bahamians, for as little as $100, can begin to save for their future. The investment rates are fixed and guaranteed with terms for 1 to 6 years. So you can't lose. Mark it down. Thursday, November the 21st. Get your Bahamas Government Savings Bonds. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for more details.
The King is at it again with the new Pepperoni Bacon King. This big and meaty sandwich has pepperoni, bacon, and more pepperoni piled on that 100% flame-grilled beef patty you love. The only way to make the Pepperoni Bacon King tastier was to add chipotle mayo, barbecue sauce, cheese, lettuce, and tomato, and serve it on a soft potato bun. So when you want a better burger, check out the Pepperoni Bacon King or try the new Crispy Chicken Pepperoni Bacon King. But get yours now because they're only here for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower you in retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we're here with Dr. Janet Martin, who, you know, co-hosted me that Wake Up Your Life at Doctor's Hospital, and Simone Bo, who is the Assistant Vice President of Human Resources at Doctor's Hospital, and also Dr. Rashida Brown-Clark, psychiatrist at Doctor's Hospital. And we're talking about anxiety, trauma, and and burnout and these other things that we can experience in our lives and not sometimes realize exactly what's going on. Dr. Brown Clark, I was asking about some of the losses that people have been experiencing. And some of this has been publicly, so it's almost as if the nation shared in that loss in a very real way. We saw a number of emotions expressed by people, whether it was sadness, depression, or anger, or rage, etc. Talk us through that and how we might cope.
So first of all, I would love to be able to give my condolences to everyone that was involved, because as you mentioned, Mr. Lang, both incidents were very public, and so the families do not only have their personal loss, but they've shared that or been forced to share that with the entire Bahamas because of the publicity. So they do have my condolences. And then we're going into the Christmas season, which is traditionally a time of spending time with families, having good times, sharing. And now we have two families who have lost their loved ones tragically, so close to the Christmas season. So it is a reminder that Christmas is not the same for everyone. The celebration of Christmas is not the same for everyone. And there are many people who and depression around this time. So when you have a significant loss, you do go through stages. And we would speak about stages of grief up to fairly recently, because now the stages of grief, nobody uses that anymore. But it was understood that when you lost someone, you would experience some degree of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. We still know that even though the stages are not as exact as that and don't go in that same sequence, there is still the understanding that we do experience one, two, three, or all of those emotions at the time of loss and significant loss. And when you do lose someone in the way that these families lost their loved ones, there's going to be a lot of anger. And that comes from, you know, not understanding how something like this could happen. And that is normal, but the hope is that everybody gets to a point of acceptance, and you accept that this person is gone, able to function, and you are able to cope with that loss. If you don't get to acceptance right away, it doesn't happen in a year, it doesn't happen in 2 years, that is okay, because again, grief is not something that you can say will end in, I'll be over this in a year, or you should be over this in a year. We can all appreciate that does not happen. And grief for many, many people never goes away. But you should get to a point where things are better, where you do feel a bit better, where you are able again to function and cope. Because if you're not able to function or cope, then that is when it becomes very problematic.
Problematic in the way that people
So you could start to experience significant depression, meaning you could develop a major depressive disorder. So you can have complicated grief, and that's when you can have a major depressive disorder. So you're not just feeling sad, but you're having this endearing 2 weeks or more of persistent sadness every day or nearly every day, no motivation, not wanting to get out of bed, very low energy, unable to concentrate and focus at work or even at home. Your appetite is affected. You might even start to have thoughts about hurting yourself, hurting other people. And that is when it goes from just feeling sad to major depression, so that you can have the complications of grief, which would be things like a depressive disorder, an anxiety disorder, or some more significant illness. That is what I mean.
That we don't get there, or is it for most people just a natural thing that time will take care of?
I heard the last part of your question, but I didn't hear the beginning of it. I'm sorry.
It's getting to the point that you mentioned where we are not the depressively dysfunctional or that kind of thing. It's something that we have to participate in ensuring we don't get there as we work through the grief process, or is it automatic for most people with the passage of time?
I would say it's a bit of both. So time does help. Time does take the sting away. So eventually what we hope for is that the memories of a loved one bring a few more smiles than the pain and the sadness. So that does happen with time, but that is we just don't have a specific time frame for that and how long that will happen. But during our travel to that point, we do have to do a bit of pushing ourselves. So I often tell patients that when you are feeling down or you're feeling very anxious and you don't want to do certain things, you do need to push yourself to do certain things. You do need to get out of bed, try to get into your routine, shower, get dressed, get out, go to work, do supermarket, whatever is your normal routine, because that becomes very helpful in not getting you stuck in the house, not getting you stuck in the bed. So there is the need to do certain things to help us along that path. And if that is, you know, getting out and going out with friends, getting together with people, socializing, therapy, if you are so inclined, actually seeking professional help when you feel like on your own or with family and friends, you're not getting there. So it does require that we do certain things for ourselves, make sure that we're eating well, make sure that we're sleeping well, we're not drinking alcohol excessively, smoking excessively, doing any drugs to help us to feel better.
During times of loss in the way that some people have experienced it, family and friends and neighbors and just the community can be helpful and unhelpful.
Definitely.
Yeah, right? I've heard things said around some of these incidences, and I'm thinking, are you serious? Even if that's true, and even if you really believe that, really? Do you think that's helpful to say right now? So can you speak to that, the extent to which, as family, friends, neighbors, community, you know, we can be helpful and unhelpful in the ways to be most helpful?
The way to be helpful is to let people have their space, to not be intrusive, to, you know, to not ask questions or get someone to keep repeating what has happened, sometimes when they don't want to. So knowing when to step away and giving people their space so that they can have their quiet time and they can meet. We do not need to know the answers. That is not for us to know. We should know as much as the police allow us to know. And that is not our right to have every detail to these people's lives. So it is very unhelpful to just be there with and nowadays everybody is going with their camera, with their phone, trying to get a little sound bite, something that they can pass around. That is not helpful. And what the relatives would have to do is they would have to be able to set up some boundaries and understand that they don't have to respond to everyone. They don't have to respond to everything. They're not expected to, and they are not obligated to. Of course, in a police matter, there are certain things that they are going to have to do so that the investigations can take place. But outside of that, they are not obligated to provide people with other information, and they do need boundaries. They do need them. They do need the space to be able to process what is going on. So we as the outsiders just need to stay outside. And everybody will have an opinion, but we also have to be very careful what we put out into the atmosphere. And social media is not our friend. So once you put something out there, or somebody puts out something out there, we also have to understand that that is not always the truth. Everybody feels like they have a little nugget of truth, and they add to it, they add to the story, they embellish it, and it goes out there, they post it, and everybody thinks that it's, we have to be cognizant of the fact that everything that is posted is not true, is not accurate, and is not our business.
And just because I have an idea that this is probably what happened, doesn't mean it's the true actor.
Exactly.
Right, because exactly. You know, I know people who we had a chat. You could tell you ain't know what's going on. That might be a thought in your head, but that's a problem, isn't it?
It is. You know, it was the narrative that, because you had a woman who said to the media that she has a history of illness, mental illness, then it became automatically she should not have care and custody of her child or of children, and that is horribly wrong. That is not the message that should be out there, because there are many, many people with mental illness, severe mental illness, mild mental illness, moderate mental illness. That does not mean that they are unable to care for their children. Now, yes, there are times when people need extra support, but that's not only for someone with a mental illness. That's for anybody. And a person who has a mental illness may have the need for other resources, then that's fine. We provide them with those resources once they are available, but it does not automatically mean that they cannot care for their children responsibly.
We're going to take a break, but Simone, when we come back, I'm going to ask you, because, you know, while people who suffer loss may have a period of time away from work to be able to deal with it, and eventually end up going back to work, and it's some of the realities of life that Dr. Brown Clark just talked about speaks into your work situation. The question is, you know, how does the workplace, how does the HR, department and others deal with that? So when we come back, we're going to ask you to speak to that. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This Christmas, Fidelity Bank is still the one. One easy monthly payment, the only one with a quick approval, and one chance to win an extra $5,000 in cash. Apply for a personal loan today for your chance to win big. Call 356-7764 for more details and make that move to Fidelity Bank today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages. Evening News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You can call us today on 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are here with Dr. Janet Martin, Simone Bowe, and Dr. Akita Brown Clark, all of Dr. Hospital, because, you know, we're trying to wake you up to your life here with Dr. Hospital today. And we're talking about anxiety and trauma and the burnout and how we can all cope. Madam Bo, the funeral is over, the incident is over, but we all still got to come to work and have these lingering memories and issues and hurt and et cetera. And sometimes that creeps into work. Talk to us about it.
Yes, I was just listening to the conversation and thinking to myself that, you know, it's such a situation that someone can get a few days off of what we call compassionate leave or family leave. It might be 3 days, 5 days, you know, maybe they might combine that with a week of vacation, right? And we are expecting that once they've taken that time, that the grieving period is over. And I was just here thinking, listening to you all and saying how unrealistic that is, right? It caused me to think of when my father passed away and I tried to go back to work, right? In that period between, that waiting period between getting the news and now, you know, making arrangements and that period there before the funeral, you know? And I remember sitting at my desk and just weeping, like I just could not function, you know? And we have to be cognizant of that in the workplace that people are going through. And my level of going through may be different from someone else's level of going through. The reason that I'm grieving may be different, but we all, at one point or the other, have experiences that overwhelm us. Now, people would tend to say, well, that's not the responsibility of the workplace to have to deal with that or to help you through it. We pay you a salary, and you should just deal with your own problems on your own time. We often hear the expression, leave your problems at the door. And I would challenge anybody to say, if you could do that, you know, hats off to you. Yeah, and some people try and they do a pretty compartmentalizing. Right? You're not leaving it, but you're just changing your focus from it for a period of time. And maybe when you hop back in your car, all of those things may come right back on you. Not everyone is able to do that, you know? And so in the workplace, I believe that we do have a responsibility because this is a place where we spend the majority of our time. And so we want to ensure. We want to ensure that we create an environment and a culture that is supportive of mental health and well-being. And so what do? We create policies that support that. We offer training that supports that. We have consequences when certain things are violated. You know, we create opportunities for persons to get help or be referred for help. We extend grace where grace is needed. And some people ask the question, you know, well, to what point? Like, how long am I expected to support a person when they're going through? And that's a valid question, right? Because at the end of the day, yes, we are running a business and we do need productivity because productivity is tied to revenue and all of that. But these things still impact revenue. They impact the customer experience. I remember being in a local bank when a mother got the horrible news that her son was murdered. And I think before he passed, he was asking for her and may have spoken to her or whatever. And man, she tore up that bank in her grieving in that moment. You know, she was screaming. She threw things. I mean, our customers were in the bank. We were all standing in the bank doing our business. And she came out and we heard the commotion starting from the back. And we just figured maybe they were laughing or something. But at a joke, and then we realized that it was shouting and of shouts of disbelief and screams and frustrations, and she just was overcome. So some of her colleagues came to rally around her to try to help her outside. Some of the colleagues were sitting there who were trying to continue to maintain their composure and professionalism. Some of them were serving people and crying, you know. Because they felt that for her. And now the expectation is, hey, y'all got customers in front of y'all. Y'all got to deal with your customers. But then these are people now who are probably mothers themselves, you know, family members thinking about, what if this were me? What if I was at work and got that phone call? Or, you know, I hate to know that my colleague is going through something so painful. And so as a customer, I even had to say, you know what? As a lady, they needed a moment. They needed a moment. I could not be there in all good conscience and say, you know, hurry up and serve me. I need to get out of the bank. That was a lot. That was heavy. And they needed space to just be able to process it in the moment before moving on. And in my mind, I was hoping that, you know, whoever was the HR professional in that environment, you know, gave that team the support that they would have needed to help them through, you know, not only that grieving mom, but her coworkers too.
Let me ask both you and Dr. Brown-Clark this question. So sometimes, Simone, as you just said, sometimes people aren't going through as smoothly as one would think or would like. And they are really, really battling. They are having a difficult time. And colleagues see this to the point that they are concerned, you know, either for them or for the environment. What is our duty in a circumstance like that if we are the colleague and we're colleagues and we're seeing what's happening to this person?
Well, I think, first of all, empathy, right? Just being able to show understanding and compassion for people. Being cognizant of what to say, how to say, and when to say. I had the benefit of participating in a grief recovery class. And one of the sessions was based on things that you should say and not say when someone is grieving. And I find that a lot of times we can be very insensitive when we think that we're helping and we're not really helping, you know? So we tend to say things that we feel would help that person fill the void of what they would have lost, right? So for instance, if I had a miscarriage, you know, child, don't worry about it. You could try again. Is that helpful to me in that moment? Can I replace the child that I lost? Mm. You see, I can't.
Yeah.
I could have another child. Yes, that is true. But that would never replace the pain of the loss of that child.
Right.
You know? Right. I think that is the starting point at work when you know people are going through being mindful, you know, giving people space if they need it. And space meaning, you know, maybe they're not joyful in this moment. And so maybe they separate themselves from the chitter chatter in the office or the social that you may be having, you know, because the holidays are coming up, the Christmas parties are happening. And maybe they just don't want to be a part of that, you know, and we have to be understanding rather than trying to force people, you know, be happy. I find that for many of us, and that was part of what that class taught, is that sometimes people's pain makes us very uncomfortable. And because we're uncomfortable, we want you to get over it. Get over it so I don't have to feel uncomfortable. Right? And so it's I think training helps to sensitize people to these things and creating a culture where there's zero tolerance for mistreating people when they're going through. And we do that. We make comments, we laugh, we snicker, we do other things that can make people feel even more isolated or anxious or depressed. So I think heightening the awareness and definitely displaying empathy.
We're going to take a break for news, but Dr. Brown Clark, when we come back, I want to ask you about this issue of anxiety. I have to confess that my appreciation of anxiety and what it is came later in life for me than it came early in life for me. But when we come back from the break, you can help us all understand anxiety and how best to cope with it, okay?
Okay.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with our excellent guest from Dr. Software. We'll be back after this news break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we are joined by Dr. Janet Martin, Simone Bow, and Dr. Brown Clark. And we're talking about some emotional issues that all of us tend to face from time to time, some of us more severely than others, as we wake you up to your life with Doctor's Hospital today. Dr. Brown Clark, before we left for the break, I was talking about this issue of anxiety. What is anxiety, first of all? You might be muted.
Sorry. I was trying to unmute. Anxiety. I tell people that anxiety is a normal response. We will all feel some level of anxiety at different points in our lives. If we are preparing for exams, if we have a presentation or speech to make, getting married, having children, there are many times during the course of our lives where we will have certain triggers that cause us to be anxious, nervous, etc. And that is very different, though, from having an anxiety disorder. So there are a number of anxiety disorders
that people may or may not be familiar with: generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, panic disorder, and phobias, when you have an excessive fear of certain things, certain situations, spiders, what else? Clowns, frogs. Yes, when your fear is excessive, given the particular trigger. So that is when our bodies now are going, are producing a lot of norepinephrine or noradrenaline. And I try to describe it, the normal cutoff valve that we have in our brains that kind of stops that process once the trigger or stress is removed. Some of us lack that. And so we just going in a heightened state of anxiety, and there's no cutoff valve, for lack of a better term, to dim or dull that response.
Hmm. How do you know when your anxiety has come to a place requiring attention, as opposed to, as you indicated, the normal anxiety we might experience in at various times in our lives? But how do we know when, listen, man, something's not right here?
When it is causing you significant distress, so you are and you are unable to function. So functioning is or a lack of functioning is an indicator many times of when help is needed. So if you're unable to function with other people, so your interpersonal relationships are suffering because of your anxiety, your social life, your social functioning is suffering because of your anxiety at work. So you're unable to put in a good full day at work, or unable to get work done because of your anxiety at school. So we now know that anxiety disorders oftentimes may start in childhood, and children can actually have significant issues in school, their occupational functioning, and that is when we should seek help for our children or for ourselves, when our functioning is severely impacted, or we just very distressed because of the symptoms that we're having.
You're a parent and you have children that you take care of, but you find yourself unable to deal with them properly. Sometimes you're snapping too often, the kids are scared to even approach you, that kind of thing would be an indication?
If you are snapping at your children?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're snapping at them, and they're now afraid to approach you because
definitely. Then, you know, if you are aware that this behavior or this response is not your norm, this is not what you would do under normal circumstances, then that is poor functioning. So you, if you are snapping at your family, you are not functioning appropriately or well in your home environment.
One of the things that I've noticed, and it's acute for me, that my anxiety level is higher than it ought to be, is when I am unable to sleep.
Yes. So for anxiety, sleep can be affected. Just a feeling of always being tense and on edge. So a lot of people feel it in their upper back, their necks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they go to the chiropractor. They always use an ice packs. Anti-inflammatory medications, but they can't seem to do anything much, then you have to start to think of other causes. Also, irritability, as you asked and you mentioned, someone or what may not even be outwardly irritable, but just feeling easily annoyed, then that can be an indicator. Problems with sleep, sometimes other physical symptoms, so chest tightness, panic attacks, where you have this cluster of symptoms of lightheadedness, nausea, tingling in the hands and the feet, You run all because these now have to be diagnoses of exclusion. So there, you have to ensure that there isn't something going on that is really the cause of that. That may be the cause of these symptoms. I shouldn't say really the cause of the symptoms, because anxiety can cause the symptoms, but you have to rule out the physical causes for the symptoms. And if you cannot come up with a physical cause, and then that's when you have to think about anxiety.
I've noticed also, you know, sometimes it's like you're losing time. Like you don't remember where you were the last hour, 15 minutes. You're going to do something. You don't remember. You don't remember what you. And it's all because it's preoccupation with what might happen, what can happen, etc.
Yes. So what can also happen is just poor concentration. There are so many things going on. The worry is excessive. So you're very distracted by every little thing, all things, and you're unable to concentrate and focus. So a lot of our memory is dependent on our ability to focus and to concentrate. Mm-hmm. And if you are unable to focus and concentrate, then you are unable to commit to memory. And that is why you feel forgetful in a case of depression and other illnesses.
And of course, does this also run us the risk of physical health challenges if this is prolonged?
Yeah, so it does take a toll on the body. If you're not sleeping well for whatever reason, and that is consistent, that can take a toll on your mental health and your physical health. We have to think of health as a circle. If you're not doing well physically, you're not going to do well mentally. If you're not doing well mentally, you won't do well physically, and it just goes on and on and on. So yes, your physical health can definitely be significantly affected if your anxiety is not well controlled, your depressive symptoms are not well controlled. Anything that is causing you a great deal of stress can have significant physical ramifications.
There are lots of people who tend to say that I feel burnt out, but I don't know that lots of us understand what that is. What is burnout?
Burnout is specifically a psychological response or term when it comes to work. So that it's work related, and outside of work you don't necessarily use the term burnout. So it describes an extreme psychological sense of what's a good word?
Dysfunction.
Feeling drained and unproductive while at work. You're not able to cope and function at work because of something that may be happening in the workplace specifically.
Now, you know, this becomes a crazy concept in the context of work these days post pandemic, because so many people's home is their workplace.
Yes.
So now you're burnt out. You're burnt out at home where you work from.
Now some people are having the exact opposite. They're enjoying working from home as opposed to having to be in the workplace, because many times it's the colleagues, unfortunately, or administration that you have to see and deal with on a regular basis that may lead to a lot of psychological distress in people. Mm-hmm. So there are those, and many people, in fact, who enjoy being out of the office and working from home. They actually feel like they're more productive. They feel better, happier, lighter, because they are not in that work, in that office space, surrounded by the people that they were not getting along with, or making it difficult, to making the work environment difficult.
So it's not so much the physical tiredness that we can feel from doing work, and that happens, and that can be challenging too. But this is a psychological sense of that tiredness.
Yes, it's more psychological. It can have the physical component too, mm-hmm. but you know, a lot of people distress can feel physically, can have a true physical impact on you. So there is a bit of that, but it is more to do with the psychological issues that we might be having in the workplace.
And what should we do to try to, and I'm sure Simone will speak to this too, but to ourselves, what should we do to try to avoid this state of burnout?
Oh boy. I think Simone's response would be very helpful because there's a lot that employers probably need to do and more that they need to do in order to create a good, healthy working environment. But for ourselves, we should always be able to de-stress and find ways to de-stress outside of the workplace. And is that a combination, as it should be, of exercise, diet, social activities, hobbies, meditation, for some spirituality, religious activities, Pilates, yoga, which comes under exercise, but have been shown to be very good when it comes to stress relief. So there are a number of things that, yes, we can do to make sure that we are managing our stress outside of the workplace. But while at work, sometimes it means taking a break or taking the breaks that you have and that you deserve. So trying to pace your work, trying to have a routine. Again, not energy drinks to stay up and to stay alert, but making sure that at home you're getting good sleep, and when you're at the office, taking breaks. And sometimes it's just a mental break. So again, one of the tricks for stress management may include just sitting at your desk and taking 1 minute to imagine yourself wherever it is that brings you the most peace. So you just sit down and think about whatever gives you the greatest joy. Is that sitting at the beach? Is that on a plane traveling somewhere? Is that on a tour overlooking the Grand Canyon? Whatever takes you to a place of relaxation, you could spend your minute at your desk just doing that. But those techniques are important day to day,
and they work. They work.
Yes, they do.
My own experience has been, I can deal and cope with much more stress when I exercise. So I bike ride, and if I bike ride with regularity and things come on me, yeah, it's still stressful, but it ain't that stressful because you can deal with it. And then meditation and prayer, I find also useful, because sometimes you need a mental reset. You know, your mind is just going on the same thing over and over, ruminating on the same thing, and you just need a mental reset. And prayer and meditation, as you say, can do that. But these things actually work. That's the point that I make. They work.
Yes, they do. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, sorry. Yes, they do. They do, and they've been shown to work. So there are the American Psychological Association has published evidence-based techniques, and you know, not necessarily prayer. You wouldn't see prayer necessarily. You would see more spirituality, but it's the same thing. It's religion, spirituality, prayer. All of that can be lumped into that same box, but that has been shown to be very effective for good stress management.
You know, as Dr. Martin Luther King was accustomed to telling us, if you want a healthy mind, you gotta stop, slow down, they count.
Yes.
Then you got to think. And then you got to reflect, reframe, respond, and be aware of your resources. And then you have to examine and evaluate. And then you have to get support. And then you have to have a strategy toward some solutions in your life. And guess what? There's an acronym for that that's called stress.
Yes. Yes. She shared it with me. And all of those things are important.
So in total, right, if you examine the environment that we are in today, a lot of times we look at it only from a political point of view, but there's so much going on in people's lives beyond the politics of the moment. As you examine the totality of the environment in which we exist, what is your guidance for us all to try to maintain, to sometimes for some people to reestablish a sense of mental wellness?
I think those of us who are unable to get any relief should seek help and understand that it is not a weakness if you're a therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist. I think that's very important to understand, that it does not mean that you have some sort of weakness, some sort of disease that you cannot get rid of if you need to seek professional advice and support. And I think that we all need to be aware of what our triggers are and what our stresses are. And we have to learn how to identify them, be able to find whatever coping skills we need to be able to cope with them until we can get rid of the stressor in some way. Or if we cannot get rid of it, we learn to cope with it until we get some permanent relief from that stressor, whatever it may be. So I do think that this is a time when we also need to be aware that this is not an easy time for everyone. And there are many, many, many people not looking forward to the Christmas holidays. And we have to understand that, be mindful of that, and allow people the space that they need to do the things that they need in order to feel better themselves and to get the psychological help and support that they may need.
There's a balancing act on this floor, I find, though, eh? Because on one hand, isolation or being alone might allow you that space to cope with, deal with, go work through what you're going through. But isolation is a problem. What's the difference? How do we know when we are isolating or being actively versus being alone constructively?
Well, when you are doing it consistently and you are not wanting to seek out days, weeks, any interaction, because we're made to be social beings, and if you know yourself to be the sort of person who enjoys being out of the house, being around people, and days on end, weeks on end, you are not doing that, then it would hopefully, not everybody has the insight, but hopefully you have enough insight to understand that this is a problem and try to seek help to resolve this problem. And if you don't have the insight, then again, it comes to our loved ones and our friends. We cannot be or should not be afraid to tell the people that we love and we care for that something is wrong. And I think that, you know, we need to address this, and you address it in the least threatening way for the person. But if there's a need to escalate, then you escalate it further. But not allowing people just to stay home and not eat well, not that they're not sleeping, you know that they're not functioning. Yes, you want to give them space, but there's nothing wrong with after a day or two you know, sending a message or going by and or knocking on the door. You know, I just wanted to see how you're doing. You don't have to be intrusive. You could just sit there with them and allow them to speak to you if they wish and when they wish. But you shouldn't go days, weeks, and that is not the norm for that person.
And I think that's the key, isn't it? It's if you know the person and you know yourself, it's what has been my norm?
Yes.
My norm is I answer WhatsApp when people send them to me. I answer text. I would pick up the phone when I get a call. But then all of a sudden, for days, and I'm not doing this, then that's not my norm.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, okay. It is not. And that became very evident with a relative recently who was not well. He was somebody that would send me something every day. Every day I would get some forward, sometimes 2-3 a day. And when I realized, you know, he's not sending, that was an indication that something is not right. Because if it goes 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and I'm not getting some sort of forward, something is absolutely wrong. So we know ourselves, and then when for whatever reason our brain is not allowing us to know ourselves, then the people around us who know us best should be able to get us the help that we need.
Well, I know you have to leave us, Dr. Brown Clark. We want to thank you so very much for your insights and helping us understand better this anxiety, burnout, and trauma situations that we face. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so very much. I do appreciate being here, and I wish you all a wonderful rest of the day, and I hope that everybody is going into the Christmas doing okay and looking to do better. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Martin and Mr. Moldo. We'll be after the break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Your pumpkin favorites are back at Dunkin'. Indulge your pumpkin passion with fresh baked pumpkin spice donuts, mouth-watering muffins, and delightful munchkins. Or sip a Dunkin' Pumpkin Spice Signature Latte made with a rich blend of espresso, pumpkin spice, and vanilla flavors, all topped with whipped cream, caramel drizzle, and cinnamon sugar. Available hot or iced, Dunkin' offers the ultimate pumpkin coffee experience. Head to Dunkin' today. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we are here with Dr. Jonathan Martin and Simone Bowe of Doctors Hospital as we wake you up to your life with Doctors Hospital. We're talking about anxiety, trauma, and burnout today. Dr. Rashida Brown Clark had to leave us, and so we're going to finish up this conversation though with Dr. Martin and Madam Bo. Simone Abbott text here says, "Good day, Shivago. Excellent show and timely topic. I stepped away and I'm not sure if you addressed this question. Please ask Simone if he and other HR professionals are more understanding of mental illness. Sadly, many persons who have been diagnosed with mental illness in the past and are now experiencing mental wellness have faced discrimination for past situations. Please speak on this issue. Thanks."
Simone had to step away for a minute or two. So can you hold that question? She will respond to it when she comes back. Go ahead.
You go. I was going to say, I noticed in the course of the conversation before on a number of occasions, and almost always when you and I have these conversations, diet still comes into play.
Yes,
mental or physical. What do you do with dietary wise?
That's right, because you know we're dealing with the whole person, mm-hmm. and the mind, body, and spirit. It works. It doesn't work independently. Mm-hmm. And so diet. When we're stressed, as doctor would have said, all of our faculties are engaged. That's our mental faculties, but it affects our physiological, physical aspect of our bodies because of the hormones that causes our heart rate to increase when we're anxious, the pains in the neck from anxiety, stomach. It affects the stomach, digestion. And so, yes, our diet plays an important part and role in our mental health and in all aspects of our health, whether it's mental or physical. It affects our immune health as well, you know, Mr. Lang, mm-hmm. because of those hormones that are elevated over a long period of time. It can, you know, break our body, and to use our colloquial terms, our bodies can break down. We get colds and flus more readily, you know, because our systems are not functioning at its highest level. We're choosing foods that bring comfort because we can't find the comfort within ourselves because we're dealing with loss. We're dealing with this anxiety and pain and these heightened emotions, and we don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to respond to it. And so we respond, we're triggered. And so our triggers lean to food that are comfort. That's why food plays an important role in our overall wellness.
I was just going to say that because when you get stressed, like why you can't reach for apple or for some celery, you got to reach the sugariest.
That's right. Those refined. That's right. Yeah. You know, because it brings us comfort and it's something that we could control. It's right there. We could touch it. We could feel it. However, after we're finished with that, those feelings of lack of control, you know, feeling depressed, anxious, those feelings are still there. And so that is why Dr. Clark says, you know, at some point you have to reach out for help. Help in the area of either a psychiatrist or a psychologist to sit down and have some talk therapy to address those emotions, to address the deep-seated trauma that we keep packing away.
And interestingly enough, I found that when you eat a more balanced diet, especially if I eat a more plant-based diet, my mental clarity is better. My energy is better. Dr. Martin, let me tell you, one day my son, I dropped him off to youth meeting and then he forgot something because he was having a sleepover and so he forgot his toothbrush and toothpaste and what have you. So, and this is about 5 miles away. So I said to myself, I had an exercise that day. I said, you know what? I'm going to ride a bike and drop this stuff off and not drive a car. And as I was about 4 miles into my bike ride, something I noticed. At this point, now I'm on stage eating. I noticed that my muscles were not sore, were not fatigued or anything. And I just was waiting for it to set in. And it never set in. Even when on the drive back, never set in. And I don't have that kind of experience with bike riding. And I mean,
yes. Yeah, because, you know, you're getting the natural with the plant-based eating, as you know, and if anyone listening in, you're getting the vitamins and minerals and all of those nutrients from the plants and from the vegetables, the plants that we're eating. It's feeding our cells. And so when it's feeding our cells, it is also rejuvenating our cells and helping us, you know, the red blood cell to be remade and healthier, increasing oxygen and blood supply to those cells. And so that is why you don't get as tired, or you didn't feel that you were tired, as opposed to when we eat the high processed foods. Those are sugary foods. They have no nutrients. And so they are not feeding our cells. You know, they're not increasing blood supply. As a matter of fact, it's taking from our blood supply. And so that's the difference. And that's why you felt the way you felt, you know?
So Simone isn't back yet. So let me ask you.
I'm here.
Well, oh, Simone,
oh
yes,
she's
Simone.
Back.
Well,
welcome back, Simone. He has a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
A text says a timely topic. I stepped away, and I'm not sure if you addressed this question. Please ask Simone Bo if she and other human resource professionals are more understanding of mental illness. Sadly, many persons who have been diagnosed with mental illness in the past and now experiencing mental wellness have faced discrimination for past situations. Please speak on this issue. Thanks.
Yeah, that unfortunately is something that, again, you know, we all have to be sensitized and trained and open, right, to persons that have experienced mental illness. And I think we have to understand the difference. So we talk about our overall mental health, but mental illness may be something that is a deeper or maybe a medical issue. Maybe a breakdown, and you call it a nervous breakdown, or they may be treated for like schizophrenia. They may have, you know, what we may call episodes. And sometimes they may have those episodes at work, right? And that it manifests in different ways. And I think that we have to be sensitized that, you know, that should be treated as anything else, that we should not discriminate against someone who may have experienced that in the past, who has gotten treatment or who has it under control, they're on medications, and you know, they're able to be functional once more. We have to be sensitive to that. I think persons who have gone through have a responsibility to declare it. You know, hopefully it's confidential and it's kept confidential. So it's important that something were to happen at work, that persons would know how to respond, right? And I've worked in such scenarios like that where persons were on the job and, you know, may have had an episode, or maybe even something happened at home. And, you know, some people, they go missing, you know, and their loved ones are worried. They don't know where they are. And so someone at work needs to be aware. Right, that this could be a possibility.
But do you think your HR professional community is becoming more sensitized and getting training toward this end?
I think some of them, not all of them, but I think that our local association has continue to be very progressive in terms of the educational opportunities that are provided through the conference, through monthly meetings, making persons aware, and really trying to change the tide in human resources in the country. But of course, that impacts persons who are open to it and who will come to those sessions, right? So what do we do to the people who are not aware and who are not staying current with what is going on? Currently, we are looking at even modifying legislation. We actually have a mental health act, right? And now looking at mental health policy for the public service, right? And a mental health leave that is proposed, right? Mm-hmm. So incorporating days off for mental health, you know, a lot of people would welcome that because, you know, you may not really be physically sick, but you're just not in a headspace to really function, right? And you may need a day. I need a day that I got from work. And I think it would really help to alleviate a lot of the call outs that we experience of people just not showing up just because they feel they can't show up. They can't deliver. They can't give at their full capacity, right? So these are some of the progressive things that we must look at as a country. We have countries around the world who are piloting or who actually have implemented a shorter work week. And they're showing a lot of signs of improvement in overall employee health and well-being, productivity, attendance, because they can work a shorter work week and they can have more time to themselves. And I also believe that as organizations, we have to be responsible. Too often we have companies that create this culture of you always need to be on, especially when you're in management or you're in a critical role. So you never fully have a day off. You never really have vacation because there's this expectation that you need to be responsive. You know, you need to answer your phone when we call. We need to answer those emails. And so you can never really disconnect. And with that comes a level of anxiety because, of course, you want to keep your job. You don't want to be in bad relationship or looked down on by your upline and maybe saying, you know, you're not committed. You're not a good worker because you're not doing this. You're not doing that. And we're not giving people room to regroup. You know, people who have accrued all of this vacation, but they can't take it. You know, we have to look at the organization now and say, are we properly organized? Have we structured this organization to the point where work is properly staffed? You know, a lot of the people now are trying to save money. So we're talking about doing more with less, but we don't recognize that, you know, you may lay off people on the one hand, but now you've added more workload on the people that stayed behind. So you're creating now stress, anxiety, and burnout for those people that you're overloading with work. There's another concept as well called performance punishment, right? Where you have great workers. And so because they're great, you reward them with more work.
You know what the saying is? The saying is, if you want something done, give it to somebody who's busy.
Right. That's what they say. But then, you know, that has its implications because, you know, strong people crack too.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know about other people, but I just have electronic blackout day.
Ooh, that sounds
good. Yeah, I have a electronic blackout day. I'm watching no TV. I have my phone cut off for the whole 24 hours, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is amazing.
Wow. I bet amazing. You have a lot of mental clarity on that day, eh?
Well, you gain it because it's kind of a mental reset, you know?
Yeah.
It really is. And I shut off everything. I ain't watching no TV. I ain't listening to no radio. I'm not getting no cell phone calls. And I have done it. And I'm telling you, it is amazing.
Yes.
In the workplace, you know, I we say this a lot, but it's true. We spend like our lives at work, right?
It's
a third. Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, when you think about it, even though we say 8 hours, we tend to spend more.
Yeah.
You know, we spend more on average. And in actual fact, you have some companies that give you 9 hour shifts because of the meal period, right? So if your meal period is unpaid, then they would give you a 9 hour shift. So 40 hours goes to the company, and then the 5 hours is your own time for your meal period. Right. So when you factor that in, that's a 9 hour work day. And if you spend more time, you know, sometimes because of traffic, you may end up going in a bit earlier. You stay a little later. So sometimes you're working 10, sometimes 12 hour days.
Yeah. And you have to prepare to go to work. And then when you come from work, you got to wind down. When you got to wind down from work, so you got to add that couple of hours too.
Correct. So that's a lot of time.
So, and you also have to add in that some persons take work home.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, so, Mr. Lyon, I like that day off from all technology, from everything. And that's a form of self-care that I feel all of us should think about and incorporate that into our day, into our lifestyle for maybe 2025. We're coming to the end of the year. People are thinking of New Year's resolutions. And, you know, we call ourselves a Christian nation. So I want to throw it out there and challenge persons listening in that maybe take Sunday as that day where you unplug, you go to church, or if you don't go to church, you just be still. And because that stillness helps you to reflect. That stillness helps us to go inside and address spirit will highlight in our systems. And so I think that's a very important self-care tool.
And interestingly enough, and I know nobody has to do it the same way. Maybe 24 hours doesn't work for you. You could do it a different time. I do it like like once a quarter. And the thing about it for me too is on that day, I don't want to see anybody. I really don't. I decided that the solitude is what I need. And guess what? I literally spend most of the time in my bedroom. Most of the time.
That's your closet. That's your healing closet.
That's my closet. And so, you know, I find like we have to find, Simone, right? Whether we are at work or we are at home, that we have to find the tools that make the thing worthwhile to us. Because at the end of the day, and you tell us if this is true or not, at the end of the day, I can't be as good to anybody's workplace or anybody else as I am unveiled to myself. Right? I can't be good for or to you if I'm not being good for unto myself. Because I need my body, my mind at an optimal place to be able to give you and give my workplace that optimal amount of output.
I absolutely agree with you. And I think this is why we must attach meaning to our work, right? It has to start where, and sometimes, you know, we can't help sometimes accepting a role or accepting a job in an area that, because at the end of the day, you know, we live a real life. And
you gotta take
what's available sometimes because you have responsibilities, you gotta live, you know? And so therefore I'm not perhaps as passionate about what I'm doing. It feels like drudgery that in and of itself can add to these negative feelings that we may have about our work because I'm just not happy. You know, I don't like it. Maybe I feel like I'm underutilizing or not utilizing the skills and the talents that I have in this particular role. So a couple of things, right? I mean, we need to ensure that we are pursuing our purpose, the reason why we're born. And whenever I teach about purpose, I often tell people that if you are able to fulfill your purpose on a job, you are blessed. But having a career doesn't necessarily equate fulfilling your purpose. You can follow a career path that actually may not align with your actual call in life. So it's important when we're making career decisions, how does this align with my values? How does this align? Even when people are deciding on what company they want to work for, you'll find a lot of the younger generation are much more intentional about where they work. Because I don't want to work someplace where they don't practice work-life balance. I don't want to practice somewhere where they don't operate in integrity. I don't want to work someplace where they say one thing and do another. They pile work on you, you know? I don't want to work someplace like that. And so we have to sometimes get to that place of, what are my boundaries? What are my non-negotiables, right? So even if I have to be on this job that I may not particularly like, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to give my all in the period that I'm contracted to work. And then maybe outside of work, I can channel my passions toward things that really uplift me. And that adds to your self-care. That adds to your feeling of purpose and fulfillment. We have service organizations that you can be a part of. You can start a side hustle. You know, you can volunteer somewhere. You know, what is it that gives your life meaning and focus, and do it. I think a lot of times we put limits on ourselves as to what we can do, how we can earn an income, you know, where we can feel uplifted and revived and fulfilled and passionate. You know, you are in control. You're in control of those choices and decisions that you make, you know, and it's how you look at life. Is it the glass half full or is it empty? And so operating from a place of gratitude and changing, reframing your perspective, when you think everything is wrong, that's when wrong seems to happen more. But when you start to see the good that's around you, when you start to be grateful, you know, I'm grateful that I have this job that I hate, because this job is financing the things that I'm passionate about. Maybe this job allowed me to pay for my gym membership. Maybe this job allows me to go out and treat myself to dinner or to a movie or to get my hair done or my nails done or to maintain a particular lifestyle
and to find some friends.
Joy.
And to find some friends. And to connect, you know, with some people who have been helping me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, finding that trusted circle, you know, of people who will affirm you and challenge you. You know, I'm grateful that I have a very small circle of friends and family who push me, you know, and when I get into this state of, well, I'll do it someday, I have friends who will push me and say, no, what you doing? Why you wasted this talent you got? Why are you here, Uncle Bill, doing this or doing that? And I'm grateful for that because it pushes me, you know, towards something that I am passionate about. And I know that I have a circle of accountability, you know, to make me be true to myself.
Doc, we got to, we have to, 2 minutes, so round us up, either one, and let us know how we can go into this holiday season with a better mindset and probably even working on better bodies.
I think I'd like Simone to close us out because she is sharing really good tips, and I think it's important for persons to hear what she's saying. So I'd let Simone close us out. One thing I would like to say to persons listening in, as we're closing out our shows for the year, is that you know, take this time, these last few days in the year, and really reflect on where you are, what this year brought you, and where you see yourself moving into, and how you see yourself moving into 2025, mind, body, and spirit. So take that mental break. Simone?
Thank you very much. I would definitely take this time to just reflect and not reflect to condemn yourself, but reflect to look forward, to learn from everything that has come towards you this year, everything that you've experienced, everything you did, everything you didn't do, and bless it, honor it, be thankful for it, because it came to teach you something that you can now take into next year and really just make the most. And one of the things that I'd like to encourage people is, you know, make that list of things that you want to do and accomplish much shorter than you may have done in the past. If you can just focus on one or two things in a few areas of your life that you really want to just be better at or do differently, then just focus on those and give yourself grace and space to fall off, get back up, keep trying. This is what life is all about. Let's live in a place of gratitude and self-compassion as we move purposefully toward 2025.
Thank you very much, ladies. I appreciate you. Appreciate all your wisdom and all the nuggets. We appreciate you. We look forward to seeing you again in the new year.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. And you take care of yourself as well.
All the best to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. God's best life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovation every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic. Your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This Christmas, Fidelity Bank is still the one. With one easy monthly payment, one fantastic way to save, and one chance to win $5,000 in extra cash. Make that move to Fidelity Bank and apply for a personal loan for a chance to win extra cash today. Call 356-7764 for more details.
Fidelity. We're good for you.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.